Welcome back to the 12 Days of Human Design series. This has been so much fun for me to do. This is day 10 today, and we're going to be covering my husband Pete's design. Now, it is a trick and a half to read your spouse's human design, let me just tell you. So you can let me know after this episode how I did in shining the light on Pete. So over the course of 12 days, we're looking at every member of my family so that you can see how human design is so much more than a label or type. Something special has happened since I started this series. We've had two babies born now. So Colby, our most recent grandchild, was born 4 days ago. So right now, we are a family of 12 with 8 manifesting generators, 3 generators, and 1 manifester. Episode 12 is going to focus on our one non-sacral being in our family, little Colby. And I'm excited to offer you that as well. But the point of this series was really for me to unpack some of the nuances in everyone's design so that you could see that you have to go beyond your type and strategy with human design. Type and strategy is a beautiful, beautiful place to start, but there is so much more to the picture than that. I'm going to just do a little flashback with you here of when I ran Pete's chart for the first time. There is no way on earth that I thought he was going to be a manifesting generator. No way. I was shocked. I think I ran it 3 or 4 times. And even before I started this episode, I ran it again just to be sure, which is crazy. I even looked at his birth certificate. I said to his mom, "Are you sure that's his birth time?" Because if I were to pick the most conditioned person in our family, hands down, it would be Pete. And that's not to throw shade on him. It's just to bust a myth that men are not conditioned, because men have just as much conditioning as women. It's just that it shows up differently for them. Pete is a man of love. His incarnation cross, which we're going to talk about what your incarnation cross is in this episode, his incarnation cross is the cross of the vessel of love. And he was raised by a military man. So that just gives you a little tiny clue into what conditioning he may have, or some of the conditioning that he may have. We're going to dig into it here.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
Okay, have your own chart handy as we go through this episode, because what I always try to do is to relate what I'm saying about the chart that I'm looking at to your own design so that you can see how to unpack this in your own life, or how to live this energy in your own life, or how you may have been conditioned away from yourself in your own life. You really don't need to know the ins and outs of my husband's design, but it's interesting to just see how it plays out so that you can compare it to your own life or the life of someone that you love. So if you don't have your chart yet, just head on over to the website. It's vickidixon.com. It's linked in the show notes for you, and download your chart for free. And there's also a picture of Pete's chart in the show notes for you if you want to follow along that way. So we're going to start with Pete's profile. Your profile is listed on your chart where it says your type, your strategy, all of those things. It will be listed and it will always say profile beside it. And where it comes from is the top 2 gates. So when we look at the gates, we look at the numbers on the right-hand side and the left-hand side of your chart. So we're looking at the top 2 on each side, and we say the right side first and then the left side. So he's a 1-3 profile. You can see that in the show notes. And this 1-3 profile drives me insane. He's a 1-3 manifesting generator, because I don't have any 1 lines in my design. So none of the, when you look at the numbers on your chart and it says decimal something, none of mine are 1 lines, which is really interesting. And I don't mean for this 1-3 to drive me crazy, but sometimes it just grinds my gears. Like, he has this saying, "Well, my research shows," and I'm like, "Oh, I don't care what your research shows." Because this is the thing with 1 lines. You go further down every rabbit hole than anyone that I have ever met in my life. Like, you just have this thing. I have clients with this 1 line or even the 1-3 profile, and they will research everything to the nth degree. And I have to remind them often that other people aren't doing that. So when they're setting, say they're setting prices for their services or for their products, they will research, you know, 100 other people who sell the same thing, so that they land in a proper place, proper, I'll put that in air quotes, with their pricing. And I have to say to them, like, people aren't doing that. Other people aren't doing that, especially if who they're here to serve in their business is not 1-line profiles, 1st-line profiles. So it's just an interesting little thing about the 1-line. It just goes down and down and down the rabbit hole. And then when you add on a completely open head center, which is what Pete has, there's no gates defined in his head center, it's oftentimes this research is about things that don't matter. So the thing with an open head center that you always want to be asking yourself, or an undefined head center, which about 70% of us have, we always want to be asking ourselves, does this matter to me right now? And sometimes, he probably wants to kick me when I say this, but sometimes I'll say to him, like, does that matter right now to you right now? Because we can get caught up with an open head center in all of the things that don't matter to us in this moment. I do it too, right? But with the one line and this open head center, it's like, remember that the nuances of your design layer on top of each other, right? So your profile is a really important piece of your human design puzzle because it's the role that you play in the movie of your life. Lots of times people don't pay attention to it at all. You know, they get stuck on, well, I'm a manifesting generator, or I'm a generator, I'm a projector. But your profile is a really big deal, so you can't leave it out. When you're ready to start really living your human design, look into your profile and all that that means to you. There's a blog post about this on my site, so I'll make sure that we link it in the show notes for you as well. So Pete's 1-3 profile is that of the investigator, the researcher, the experiential learner, someone who has to learn through mistakes, and I'm putting that in air quotes. It's like he has to try everything for himself in order to understand it. You really can't tell him anything. You know, I seem to always take these episodes back to picture the child, because when I look at your human design, I see the newborn child. I see in this design the little boy who came into the world so perfect and then had the world tell him all the ways that he was wrong. So we have this kid who has to learn by making mistakes, and immediately we start to condition him that he's wrong. So when I look at Pete's design, I see conundrums everywhere. I see that he has the design of someone who needs to carve his own path, walk his own road, yet he cares for his tribe deeply, and he brings energy to the collective. He has this push me, pull me energy that coexists within him. Now, if you know my husband, you know that he's solid. He's unchangeable. He's fiercely loyal. And you do not mess with his tribe. He has a design of stubbornness. He has this 28-38 channel that we talked about in Andrea's design as well. This is the design of someone who is very, very stubborn. You know, people see Pete, so he's big. He's, I don't know, like 6'2" and I don't know, somewhere around 300 pounds. He's a big, big, big guy. And he is a teddy bear. But he's also hard as nails when he needs to be. When he digs his heels in with this 28-38 channel of struggle, you're not ever going to change his mind. He's stubborn in a quiet way that sticks. He'll stick to his guns without ever saying a word. It's like you don't even know what hits you. He's so stubborn. When he decides on principle that that's the way it is until the day he dies. And that's in his 50-27 channel that you see there from his sacral to his spleen center. So that 50-27 channel is a really big deal in our family. Every single member of our family at the time of this recording, except for Matt, my son-in-law, has all or part of this channel. 50-27 is tribal energy. It's Papa Bear and Mama Bear energy. It's principles, it's accountability, it's nurturing, it's healing, it's standing up for what's right for your tribe. Gate 27 is said to be the most healing energy in the body graph. And I have gate 27 defined. I don't have gate 50, I have gate 27 defined. So it's in my Mercury and my Mars, which are really significant placements. We'll probably talk about that in tomorrow's episode on me. But in matters of principle, Pete will always win because he has the entire channel. So what we call this in human design is a compromise channel. I'm said to be compromised in this position in our designs. So understanding how this energy plays in our designs has saved a lot of battles because I now know that I can't win on principle on some things. It's just not worth fighting over anymore. And that's been one of the gifts for human design for us. This energy gives Pete aura busting energy too. He has this channel and he has gate 6. So he has 3/4 of the defense circuit. He quickly and easily breaks down people's defenses. And oh my gosh, to see this in action, it's such a gift. I wish I had this. He walks through life communicating with every single person he meets. It's absolutely fascinating to watch. Strangers on the street, people in an elevator, in a restaurant. Like he just breaks down their defenses. It's like everybody's his friend. It's crazy. Here's me in the public eye in my career. Like I've been on stages. I've had a big career, big public career. But in real life, I'm not like that. If you met me on the street, you know, I may look up and say hi, but I'm not going to like be your friend in 2 minutes. Whereas Pete really is. He has all of this aura busting energy. Andrea has this too. And I just find it so fascinating to watch them when they're out in public. I wish I had that gift for connecting with people, but I don't. So Pete, like Andrea and Easton, is an empath. He feels things deeply, and this has been a big journey for us. Because here's the thing, I'm the one who's emotionally defined. I'm designed to be emotional because remember, I'm an emotional authority. My emotional solar plexus is colored in my chart, but I'm not comfortable with emotions like most of the emotionally defined women of my generation, right? Gen Xers, there was not room for our emotions, and that's okay because that's the journey that we chose. Pete, on the other hand, is not here to be emotional, and he feels enough for both of us. He's the one who cries when the kids do something, when a baby is born, when someone gets married, at our wedding, he cried. I'm the stoic, which is completely backwards. This has been one of the biggest gifts of understanding human design in our relationship, because we used to get into really tight spots because I'd mention something or want to talk about something, and Pete would make a huge deal of it, thinking that it was a big deal to me, but it wasn't. I'd be sitting there thinking, what the hell just happened? Like, I don't get how this blew out of proportion. Now we know that it's because he feels emotions bigger. Remember that in your openness, you not only feel the energy from others, but you amplify it back into the field. So he's always amplifying my emotions. They feel bigger to him than they do to me. To me, they just feel like a regular part of me because I'm designed to be emotional. He's not designed to be emotional, so they don't feel natural to him. I hope that makes sense to you. I wish that we were in a room together so that I could see if your head was nodding or not, okay? So here's a tool for you if you and your partner are opposite emotionally. Now what we do is that I will preface a conversation something like this. I'll say, I need to talk to you about something and I feel it this much. And I've got my hand, you know, when you make a teeny tiny motion with your hands, okay? And he'll say, yeah, okay. So if emotions intensify or when they intensify, we can break space. We can break auric space. We can step out of each other's aura. You know, he can go out into the garage and bang around for a bit. I can clean something to get my energy out so that the energy dissipates. It gives us a way out. When we walk into the conversation really understanding that I'm not feeling it in a big way and he will feel it in a bigger way, it gives us a little bit more breathing room. Okay. I hope that makes sense to you because 50% of the population is emotionally defined and 50% is emotionally undefined-ish. So the chances are that you have someone in your life who's the opposite of you. And this emotional center I have found in my own human design journey and when I'm working with clients, this emotional center I really think holds some of the most important gifts in human design. So let's talk about the incarnation cross for a minute. As I said in the beginning, Pete's incarnation cross is the cross of the vessel of love. And I am surrounded by this incarnation cross. My coach has it. Many of my clients have it. I can't get away from it. I laugh lots of times when someone comes into my world and I see that they're the cross of the vessel of love. I'm like, oh, of course. And I have those gates in my design as well, but they're not in the prominent position of the incarnation cross. So Pete's incarnation cross gates represent love of the body or the vessel that you're in, universal love, love of humanity, and love of self, behaving towards yourself as if you love yourself. It's all about loving life itself, appreciating people for who they are, and living in the present moment. And this is the energy that Pete embodies each and every day. And chances are that you are embodying the energy of your incarnation cross as well, without even knowing it. And your incarnation cross holds a big key into your purpose. So that's another place you want to dig into in your design. We do this in a reading every time. I remember the hardest time that we ever went through with one of our kids, where most people would have turned their backs or raged, Pete opened his arms and he took her in. They cried together and she walked away knowing that she was loved in spite of what was happening. I didn't have that gift for her. I crumbled, whereas Pete was able to hold her in her anger, I guess, with his love. You've never been hugged until you have been hugged by this man. Emily, our other daughter, she said that that's the thing that she misses the most about being home is that every day she would walk down the stairs and Pete would give her a great big hug. And now I'm going to cry. Me that's not supposed to be emotional. Me that's not emotional, even though I'm supposed to be. And I take that for granted lots of times with Pete because I'm not a touchy-feely person. Pete loves with every part of himself. It's how he does everything. He's also an entrepreneur. And sometimes there are sticky situations that we need to handle as entrepreneurs. We'll talk about, you know, if he's having some situation in his business, sometimes we'll talk about it. And then I'll remind him to come from love because that's who he is at his core. It's how he's meant to move through life. So if you always come back to that incarnation cross, if you always come back to that purpose, like, why am I here? We tend to think about purpose as something we do, you know, should I be a teacher, a nurse, an entrepreneur, a banker, a whatever, you know, but it's not what you do. It's who you are. It's how you show up in every situation in your life. And Pete does that beautifully. So the last thing that I'm going to share about Pete's design is actually a piece that we share. It's a big theme in his design. Remember, the gates that repeat are considered themes for you. So channel 4629 is one of serendipity. I love that word. It's succeeding where others fail. It's commitment. And in its highest expression, it's devotion. And that's a theme in Pete's design. So we have this vessel of love guy who's stubborn on principle with aura busting energy, who has a theme of devotion in his design. I've always said that Pete is the biggest reason that we're still together. And I stand by that. 32 years of loyalty, devotion, love, and humor. He brings it to the table year after year after year. I'm the one who will spin out and spit fire because of all of the intensity in my design, right? His softness, his ability to hold that emotion, his ability to stand strong in love, I think keeps me grounded as I kind of flail around a bit with all of the intensity and fire and power in my design. But we're going to talk about that tomorrow in the episode on me, which is a really weird thing to do, a human design episode on yourself. So stay tuned. Tomorrow I'm going to unpack not only just about my design, but about the conditioning that I have gone through, because I'm betting if you're listening to this episode today, you have a lot of the same conditioners in your design as I do in mine. So stay tuned for that. And when you're ready to dive deeply into the nuances of you, head on over to the website to book your reading. We take about 75 minutes together and we go into the depths of your design, all of the nuances, all of the ways you've been conditioned away from yourself, and how you can truly stand unapologetically in your gifts once and for all. Life is going to kick you around over and over and over and over again. Leaning into your human design and really owning your strengths is the best way to stay unjaded.